Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Welcome to Talk of the Rock. I'm your host, Jared Griffin, and this week we have a special treat. Whenever we get a new news reporter in the at the station, we just want to know absolutely everything we can know about them because, you know, that's our job, is learning about people, learning about our community, and inviting new people into the community. And so on this week's Talk of the Rock, we're talking to Brian Venois, who's been on island for a couple of weeks now, to help me talk about Brian Venois. And two, Brian Venois is news director Kirsten Dobra. So welcome, Brian and Kirsten.
Hello. Thanks.
Well, let's coming up with these questions for this show is I'm really interested in like the philosophy of news and where you're coming at, but I don't want to skip over the details. So I guess we'll just start with who are you?
Yeah.
Where do you come from?
So my name is Brian. I actually grew up not too far from here over in Dillingham. And yeah, I left for school. I went to Eastern Washington. I went to school at Gonzaga for 5 years, and then I came back to Dillingham. I was a reporter there for a while. If you listen to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report the last few years, you definitely heard my voice doing that. And yeah, now I'm looking for something new, and I'm here in Kodiak. I'm excited to get to see the place, get to know some folks, and write y'all a bunch of stories.
First impression, how different is Kodiak from Dillingham?
It's like, growing up in Dillingham, obviously I'm going to have a lot of issues with it. It's like being in Dillingham, but every issue I had so far is like immediately fixed. Like there is a fast food place here, which is really cool. I can get pizza delivered, which is amazing. So it's just kind of those little things that make life just that much better is just, it's all of the benefits of being in Dillingham, but it's just a little bit better.
That's right. Take that, Dillingham. So why Kodiak? What is it about Kodiak that you're like, ooh, I want to report there?
The job was open, so that helped. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of growing up in a place, like, you get to know so many different people, and you have all these conflicts of interest, because, like, I can't report on this. This is, like, my best friend, or this is my best friend's aunt, or whatever. So coming here, it's a little bit nice to have a fresh start and being able to have that freedom to where I can talk to whoever I really need to. I don't have to think about, oh, well, they work with my sister, and if it's unflattering, I don't want them to get mad at her or whatever. So it's nice to be able to have that journalistic freedom to cover the things that need to get covered and to help build a community in a different area than what I'm used to.
Yeah, that objectivity is hard to, like, I had to, there, I did some reporting here during the COVID years, and yeah, there are so many stories I couldn't cover because of, you know, conflict of interest. So I'm glad it's more open for you and Kirsten here. So what do both you, Brian, and Kirsten, you've been here about a year now. What do you make of the, or what are your impressions of the Kodiak news landscape?
I think for me, there's so many interesting things to cover. And that's one of the things when Brian was interested in the job, I talked to him about, because there's fisheries, there's environment, there's this really cool arts and cultural scene. There's, you know, the politics of, you know, having leadership in the state legislature. There's just so many different things that as a reporter, I think are really interesting to cover. And the community is really cool. Like, I feel like everybody, one of the nice things about reporting in a small town and in Kodiak was my first month that I was here, I would be somewhere and chatting with people and they'd be like, oh, you're the new reporter. And it's nice to be welcomed in that way. And I know Brian's had a few instances where people have said, oh, you're the new reporter. So it's A, nice to not be the new reporter anymore. but also it is very welcoming. And I think that that makes for, like Brian said, it's nice to get to know people that way.
Yeah, for me, I think it's really cool to just have it be a little bit more concentrated to one area. At KDLG, it's an AM station, so our broadcast area is huge. We cover so many different villages, and it's really hard to spread that as evenly as we'd like. So it's really interesting to be able to like really hone in on like, oh, it's just these, this many communities just on one island really that to focus on. And that's kind of, it's nice to have a little bit more of a guiding arm to compare that to my previous experiences.
Let's talk about your philosophy of news, and we'll start with Brian. What is that? What is your the angle that you like to bring to news?
So for me, first and foremost, public news is about building and fostering community. It means bringing attention to the things that a community needs, not so much as to like, oh, there's a lot of reporters out there that's like, if it bleeds, it leads. And you'll see things on national and state news that's like, oh, well, there were 8 murders in the last week. And honestly, like, that's not helpful. I mean, it's good to know to remind people to be safe, but that's going to come from a system of issues that led people to get to those points. So mm-hmm. here, if we can get into things like covering into what are the systems in place for domestic violence prevention or bullying prevention, doing things like getting on the ground level, asking the people what they need and asking them how we can support them. That's really what I believe the core of public news is for, is to help people find solutions to their problems that are in their faces here and now.
Yeah, I think one of the things that Brian said in his interview when we were meeting with him that was like ding, ding, ding for me was when I asked him, I think I asked you like what you were interested in coming here to report. And your response was, well, I want to see what the community is interested in. And that's such a big thing. You know, I came from Aspen, which is another small rural station. And one of the things somebody told me, there was this really big wildfire that was there both when I was there and also the year before, 2 years before I started there. And it almost burned down one of the towns in this community. And I had a friend tell me that she was from there and her parents still live there. And she told me that when they saw smoke, they got into their car and they turned on the radio. And that to me has always been something that sticks in my mind, that you are providing this public service of giving people marine weather that helps them make their decisions, mm-hmm. telling them about things that might impact their day to day. And then also, I think public radio is this important source of storytelling that you don't get in print, that I think I'm very excited to have another reporter with, because I think it's just going to make our ability to tell those stories more comprehensive, and it will be an exciting new chapter for our newsroom.
This episode is pre-recorded, so I'm glad y'all brought that up, the importance of community, especially emergency situations. But while we're recording this, we're in the middle of our Fun Drive week, and I know this is playing a week after our Fun Drive week, but it's still not too late.
Plug local journalism.
Exactly.
There.
support local journalism more than ever right now. So let's talk about, Brian, some of the stories that you've worked on. I'm going to ask you two questions. One, what has been your favorite story to work on so far? And the second one is, what story have you done that you think has been the most impactful to your audience? And if they're the same one, I guess it's okay, but...
Are you talking about here at KMXT so far?
No. Your whole background of experience.
Yeah, I think probably... So to start with the most impactful, I think the one that I wrote, I think it was a couple of years ago now, but it was about the missing and murdered Indigenous peoples crisis and how Dillingham was part of a new pilot program to establish better communications between all the agencies that are responsible for finding people, like the state troopers, local police, VPSOs, and they also connected with the tribes and families so that those families can get closure as new information comes out. So I think that bringing that to light had a lot of public reception when I wrote it. And it just meant a lot to me to just know that, oh, I'm not just writing this just to get it out there. I'm writing this for people who are actively being affected by these things. I think that's really why I wanted to get into journalism, is to help people learn more about the issues and how they're being handled. And I think a lot of my popular stories, especially the summer that I was writing, was about a historic sailing boat that was actually coming back to Bristol Bay from, Homer. So they crossed the Cook Inlet, they came in down Lake Iliamna, and it was incredible to see so many people like sharing pictures of the boat, telling stories of their parents or their grandparents going sailing and fishing, because Bristol Bay was a sailing only fishing industry until 1951. So in 52 and 53, that's really when motorized vessels picked up. And it's just crazy to see like how people like really appreciate local journalism and how the things that we're writing can affect people's lives, help them reminisce about the things that go well, or understand like how things that are going poorly can get handled better.
And Kirsten, we'll go ahead and do like an annual news review you too. I mean, what story, now that you've been here a year, what do you think, which story that you've covered so far at KMXT you think has had the most impact?
Oh, I don't know. I guess maybe my fisheries coverage. I have to say I really enjoy covering fisheries. I think it's this really interesting overlap of politics and environment and the economy, and I've really enjoyed covering that, and I think that that makes a difference in people's lives. I think that's important to people here. I also think one of the things I covered that was very hard to cover within my first 6 months here was the little boy who went missing. Mm-hmm. And part of that story was very hard to cover. And I think it was really hard for a lot of people in the community, but I think it also was a really great example of how Kodiak came together. And I think that if there's anything from that story that hopefully people took away was that how this island came together to look for him and support his family. And I think, I guess the other story that I think had a lot of public reaction was my coverage of the spaceport. And
oh yes.
Yeah. You know, it's this interesting thing where it's, you know, it's this business that has a lot of potential and excitement around it, but it's also, it's a spaceport on an island, and it's going to have people who are critics and are not, you know, there's just a lot of discussion around it. And so I think that that story had a lot of attention mm-hmm. when it came out too.
Being a small newsroom and covering, oh my gosh, you know, public safety and fisheries, politics, local government, the schools, right? It's Kodiak is a small community, but we have the same kinds of issues, maybe on a slightly different scale than any other community. And so having that burden of covering, you don't have a beat, you know, really. Kodiak is the beat. The island is the beat. So I think sometimes that can get overwhelming, especially when you get a lot of these issues piling up at the same time. So Brian and Kirsten, how do you balance that? What is your passion outside of news that helps keep you personally and emotionally and spiritually grounded?
I have way too many hobbies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I love to go hiking. I love kayaking. I did surfing for a few years, so I'm excited to get back into that now that I'm here.
Yes.
Yeah, and the biggest thing lately for me is photography. The last couple of years, I've been entering a lot of landscape photography competitions, and I made a calendar last year. I'm not doing one this year because the move was just a lot of moving parts.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So, but I do also have a photography book coming out that I'm just, it's lately, that's the thing that I love to do. I like going out, taking photos. You'll probably find me at Mission Beach or Near Island or something or another at some point. Just out there, I'll have my tripod and camera. Feel free to walk up and say, hey, I'm the Filipino guy with long hair, probably wearing a hat.
So, can you tell us more about this photography book that you're working on, or is this kind of a surprise?
Yeah, actually, I'm really excited about it. So when the pandemic hit, I went home because my mom and dad were, if the world was going to end, I'm going to end it with them. Yeah, so, and that was really when I got into photography, because there was nothing really else to do. The bars were obviously closed. A lot of things were just, there wasn't much going on. So I just went for walks all the time. I went hiking a lot. And I was like, wow, Dillingham's actually really pretty, because it was nice to slow down and get to enjoy it. So I bought a camera that fall, and Yeah, so it's kind of the book that I wrote this year has been mostly just circled around Dillingham, but also a few from around Bristol Bay in general. That's just kind of the whole book is a love letter to my home area, my home region, and to kind of as a thanks for the area that inspired me to pursue photography and just an appreciation for all the wild areas that Bristol Bay had to offer. And I'm really happy with the images I put in so far, and I'm really happy with the writing I put in and the editors who've helped me. And yeah, I'll be excited for it to come out soon.
Okay, fantastic. Kirsten, when's your book coming out?
Oh, put me on the spot. No. I have to plug, too, that Brian is also an accomplished musician.
Oh.
That's another thing he can talk about. For anyone looking for different members of their band, Brian would be
okay.
Have to plug that.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready. Your phone's going to be ringing.
Oh, yeah. My degree is actually in music education, so I had to learn a lot of different things for undergrad. And, yeah, I mostly have been focusing on piano, bass, and just a couple other things just for fun lately. But, yeah, so that was a big part of my life for a long time. But now I'm here and working in journalism. Funny how things go.
Funny how things go. Kirsten, I know you and your husband are big hikers.
Yes.
What else do you... What?
Oh, well, I lived in Colorado for about 13 years and in ski towns. I actually snowboard. That's a disclaimer, but I say skiing because most of my friends ski. In Colorado, I had a backcountry setup and got very into that over the last several years. So I have been up Pyramid, checked that out, hoping to do a little bit more. We went up once so far this season, and it was a little bare, but with this snow we just got, I'm excited to explore that area a little bit more. We hike a lot. We have two dogs. As you know, one is a little rascal, little being he's a puppy still, so that kind of slowed us down a little bit more this summer.
Oh, yes. As children or puppies tend to do, yes.
Exactly.
Again, we're recording this during the Fun Drive week, and the Fun Drive's theme is travel stories. And I think both of you have already done some things on air during the week, but I wonder if there are any stories that stick out to you about travel that you've done related to news, something you've had to cover, or, I don't know, journalist convention that you've gone to. So where have some of the interesting or the places that stick out to your mind that you've got to travel to or travel with people you've traveled with to cover a news story?
Yeah, so one of my news trips, I went to Ikuk Beach near Dillingham. It's just across the Nooshigak Bay there. And it was really, we were there to cover erosion. That's what my news partner who came with me was focusing on. But I was there to take photos. And one of the really interesting things is that the fishery there is entirely run on trucks. And I think it's one of the few in the world that can say, oh, yeah, we're an entirely land-based fishery. Because they...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the tides vary so much there, so they can just go up, they put their nets out, they pull in the lines with the truck, load the fish into a truck, and fill it with ice or slush or whatever, and then just drive straight to the cannery where they have specialized equipment to just suck fish out of your truck bed. And that was just really crazy to get photos of, like, oh, yeah, they just have this probably, like, 200-foot net just there that they're pulling out. And then, like, get photos of, oh, yeah, there's just a truck full of fish and some slush there. And, like, oh, okay, this is just what we do every year.
Kirsten, where have you been?
Oh, so...
Where has the news taken you?
Has the news taken me? When I was freelancing in print several years ago, I got to go... I used to get invited on different things. And one thing I actually went on that was very interesting was I went to California for this thing called the Rebel Rally, which is an off-road all-women's point-to-point race. So it's these women, they're in teams of two, they have a driver, they have a navigator, And it's a 10-day race, and I spent 5 days with them. And I got to drive one full day. And basically, you have paper maps. You're doing way, you know, you're finding your way with no GPS or anything like that. And you're going to these different spots, and you start at one location and you end at another location. And so I drove from near Joshua Tree to Glamis, California, where Glamis is near the Mexican border, and it's actually where they filmed in Star Wars Tatooine.
Oh.
So, like, the desert scenes. And
oh, really?
I destroyed my camera there because it was just whipping winds in the sand. But it was a wild experience. I got to go with this woman who is a professional big mountain skier, which is kind of how I got connected with it and did a little profile on her. And it was just one of those things that I got an invite for and was like, okay, sure.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. How can you turn that down?
Yeah.
So then where are your dream places that you'd like to go and report from? Other than Kodiak. I know Kodiak's, you know, it's a dreamy place, but pie in the sky. You don't have to worry about money. You don't have to worry about resources. What would be a place to go cover for like a week or a month?
Oh, man. I have no idea. I guess right now, at least for me personally, I would kind of like to be in Ukraine. I think it would be incredible to be a videographer, a photographer down there, get incredible and compelling images to really see what's going on, to kind of bring that to people's attention, to really bring that focus in and see like how people are being affected most. Just kind of doing photo essays every time to really understand how people just like you and I are being affected, because it's easy to look at Volodymyr Zelensky or Vladimir Putin just, oh yeah, of course, they're the heads of office, like they're working with the generals, etc. But it's something else entirely to be on the front lines and see like these, because they're real people that have their lives completely disturbed, and it would be interesting to see and talk to them about how everything has changed, and if things start to dwindle down, like what is that life going to look like afterwards?
For sure. Oh gosh. Personally and politically for them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I have to say, I feel like I'm kind of living the dream that I wanted to come to Alaska and report for so long, and I'm here, which is super exciting. But I think one thing I've really thought of a lot since I've been here is that there are not enough journalists in this state. There are so many important stories that are not being told. Mm-hmm. And I if I had time that I could do this, I would travel around the state and develop some sort of podcast about just the stories that people have, the struggles, the challenges, the celebrations. I think that there are just so many communities that need reporters and that are underreported on. And I would love to have more time in this state to explore more and tell those stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And to piggyback off of that too, I think especially growing up here, like I know of so many ghost villages that are just like, oh yeah, there were people who used to live here year round, but they've since moved to Dillingham, or there was a volcano, so they had to found a new village like with those people. So, and I think that those are communities that before we forget who they are, where they were, and before those buildings get vanished, I think it would be really interesting to cover and tell those stories and at least put them somewhere on paper or in recordings to be found again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'd never thought about that, but yeah, that'd be a great beat. That would be really interesting.
The ghost beat.
We have about 2 minutes left. So I just thought I'd open it up, do a little crossfire. Brian and Kirsten, do you have any questions of each other, colleague to colleague, about news, about Kodiak?
So you've been here for a full year, and it seems like you're pretty committed to sticking around. I'm still brand new. At least for you, what makes Kodiak special, and what makes you wanting to stay here for a long time?
Well, I've aesthetically, I've always been drawn to mountains. Anywhere that there are mountains, I will go. So I think that that just at face value, that's something that I can't get enough of. I was just saying every morning in the winter when the sun comes up and hits those peaks and they just turn lavender, I just feel like I fall in love with the island a little bit more. Mm. But like I said, I think the community is really welcoming. I think that for such a rural and remote community, there are just so many different groups and things you can get involved in, which is really novel, I think, for a remote area. And I think journalistically, there's so much you can accomplish here as a reporter. And I think being part of the Alaska Public Radio Network is a big part of that. And I think there's just a lot of... there's a lot of potential for anyone who wants to come here and report news. And for me personally and professionally, that's all very exciting.
We might have time for one more.
Ooh. Oh, I didn't think of a question, but can I say a comment?
Sure.
We are super excited to have Brian here. I think one of the big things for me interviewing Brian and having him come on board was you have knowledge of how important public radio is to small communities. You know what it's like to live in rural Alaska. And then also what you've already done with KDLG and your photography. It's super exciting to have that energy come here. And we're just really excited to have you in the station and become a part of our little family here at KMXT.
A little family. And I think part of this family requires you to get a dog.
I don't think my apartment allows dogs, okay. But I will be getting a cat soon.
Oh, see, I think cats because I have a cat too, so okay. I think that's fine.
Cat guys. Cat
I did promise my girlfriend that we can get a cat at some point.
Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Cats do just fine here. Thanks again, Brian and Kirsten, for talking about Brian and introducing Brian to the community, and I'm sure that the community is going to enjoy the storytelling and the news coverage that... that's what we're bringing for us. It's nice to have a full, as full as we can get, newsroom. And that's why your support of KMXT is really important so we can keep good quality local news on the airwaves for you. So thanks again for listening to Talk of the Rock, and have a great day.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.